Hi, everyone, and welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 66. My name is Matt, and this is the somewhat weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. Thanks again for tuning in this week. We've got a great show lined up for you. And this summer has been kind of crazy, as most of you have probably been following along with me and following some of my posts on Google+. So this week, guys, I'm back on the air again, and I finally did it. This summer, I've been talking a lot about the Atlas missile silos in my area, and this week, I finally got to visit one, and I'm so excited to tell you the story of that during this week's show. So, all right. So, as most of you know, this summer has been really crazy busy, but I'm going to try to get back to a regular schedule now with this show, and one of the things that I want to talk to you about now is sort of all this summer, as I have been working really kind of crazy hours, I have had the opportunity to go visit some of these silos in my area that I talked about. If you haven't listened to the last two episodes, I suggest you do that to give you a little bit of background information on this episode. This will be the final episode on the silos. And so basically, there's 12 Atlas missile silos in my area. And most of them were decommissioned. Actually, all of them were decommissioned in the 1960s and just sort of went into disrepair and abandoned for 35, 40 years or more. And most of them filled up with water. So I've taken a drive to some of the silo sites, and pretty much every time you go to one, you either get stopped by a private property sign or you drive up to the gates are closed. Even some of the silos, the roads that you drive to get to the silo itself, some of them have gigantic signs that say turn around now, no trespassing, private property, all those different types of things. So I went on a mission and I started doing some research on the owners of the silos and contacted a lot of the owners. One owner in particular happens to be restoring one of these old silos, and it happens to be site number one in my area, site one of 12. So this past weekend, my brother and my brother-in-law and I, we took a drive out. First of all, we contacted the owner of the silo and just said, hey, you know, we really would like to see, you know, some of the grounds, maybe even a tour of the silo, if that's possible. We'd like to respect your property, and, you know, we just want to, we're enthusiasts of a, kind of a bygone era, and we want to check it out. Any chance you'd give us a walkthrough, even if it was just above ground? And the guy said, sure, come on down. Be happy to talk to you about it. And this was at the beginning of the summer, and I scheduled the first weekend of July. I got called into work, and I couldn't make it. And the second weekend in July, something came up, and we couldn't go. And then a few weeks had gone by, and finally an opportunity came where we could actually go see this and take a drive. So we hopped in a car and drove about 30 miles north of where I live, almost to the Canadian border. Literally, you could probably walk through the woods and cross the border into Canada from this particular site. So we are driving to the silo itself, driving down the missile base road, and one of the two that was with us just happened to say, well, where is it? And the point was, exactly, you cannot see these things. They're under, everything was so well built that basically you wouldn't know they were there unless you were looking for it. So everything is underground for the most part. So we finally pull up to the gate, and just to give you the example of finally being able to drive onto one of these property, if you're excited about it, driving through the great gates was really kind of a cool moment for me because I've been trying to do this all summer. So it was highlight of my summer to finally be able to do this. So we drive through the gates and noticed a couple cars parked over next to what they call a Quonset hut, which is just a small utility building. Usually these silos had two of them. And so we pull up, and inside the building, the owner, I don't want to give his name on air because I never asked permission to talk about to ask his name over the air. But so the owner was sitting at a table, Oddly enough, the table was actually was painted in a radiation symbol. It was kind of funny for what we were doing. So what we did is I shake the owner's hand, meet him, introduce him to everybody. And it turned out that also with him was a historian on the Atlas missile silos throughout the country. And I was not expecting that. So all of a sudden, we just went from getting, you know, the owner to give us a walkthrough of the property to actually getting a tour with some history and some background knowledge on all these silos, which was pretty awesome. So the first thing we did is, it's been a rainy summer here. So the first thing that we did is he actually had some rubber waders that he asked us to put on because we'd be walking through water once we went underground. And I didn't really know how much. So, luckily, I just slipped on the waders and I was expecting to kind of take a tour of the grounds first, but we actually went through and we made our way over to the stairwell that goes underground. And at that point, he showed us the escape hatch of this silo, and it's a small ladder that comes up from the ground with a cap on it, cement cap. And basically, during the Cold War era, when these were operational, this escape hatch was filled with 4 tons of sand. So if they opened the hatch from down below, the sand would pour out, but that sand would protect them in the case of a nuclear blast. So if the stairway was eradicated by a blast, they would have the escape hatch. The funny story is, though, that if the nuclear blast went off, all of that sand in the escape hatch would be turned instantly to glass, so they would not really be able to get out of the silo. I found that really interesting. So basically, we headed down the stairs. It's a long stairway. And by the way, as I'm talking about this, I'm going to post all these pictures. I'm going to put them in the show notes, link in the show notes. And feel free to take a look at some of these pictures because they're pretty awesome. We went down a long set of stairs, and we came to where there used to be 2 doors. And basically what would happen is... This was like a catch point or entrapment area where someone would have to go through one set of doors, close the door, and then check in with a guard on duty in order to be able to go into the silo. And if you were not supposed to be there, they would keep those doors locked and you would be trapped there until you were either arrested or taken out by guards or led into the silo. So after the entrapment points, there are 2 blast doors, and these blast doors are huge. And he showed us one of these blast doors. It was really heavy, but it was able to be moved. And basically, he said that all the Atlas missile silos that were ever built using this cookie-cutter template, behind the first blast door, all of these silos that he has seen leaked water. From condensation and other things, and it's always been a problem for any silo owner. So we trounced through just a couple inches of water, of condensation, rainwater, maybe an inch at most. He had been working on draining the silo. And so we went down through another blast door and around a corner and down a set of stairs into what they called the launch control center. And at that point in time, that's where he's done a lot of his renovation. And he showed us areas that he has taken out a couple of walls just because they were destroyed by flooding and water and such. So as we got into the Launch Control Center, or the LCC, he began showing us around, basically showing us that any point in the silo that is connected to the outside was actually grounded and protected from EMP pulses, which I found was really interesting, seeing how these things were built back in the 60s. So any pipe or any conduits, any cables, it was all grounded. Anything that went out to the outside, grounded for protection. And so I really kind of got this... I thought I was going to be kind of scared going through this silo, but once I kind of got in there, I mean, these things were built to survive nuclear blasts. Besides all the rust and crud that was everywhere from the flooding over the years, it was actually kind of cool to walk through this silo and be given some information. So the LCC has a giant pillar in the middle of it that basically supports the whole structure. And this is sort of, you're sort of on like a floating platform. And this platform at one point in time had hydraulic pins and hinges on each side of this round room. And basically if there was a blast ever go off, those hydraulic connections would actually protect anyone in this room by allowing the room to move and shake a little bit during a large blast. And so there's two levels to this LCC, or Launch Control Center. And the upper level had been cleaned out pretty well. He had been testing some paint for restoring the silo. And basically the story goes, this guy who's the owner, he worked for the Red Cross, and basically 9 months of the year he would be traveling all over the world building prosthetic legs for people in third world countries, and never really had a home to himself, and he'd always go back and visit mom and pop, he said, and wanted to buy a unique piece of property. So way back in 2005, he went on eBay and searched for unique properties and came up with this missile silo. He actually lost the bid on eBay. He was the third contender. And after a few days, the owner had actually asked him, were you still interested at your bidding price? And then he ended up purchasing the property. And so this is the upper part outside is just a beautiful area. I mean, it's well kept. It's green, and it's just a nice piece of property for anybody who's, you know, looking for land. And then, as he puts it, underneath is just a giant playground for him to work on projects and try new things and chip away at kind of restoring this. He doesn't really have any plans for it at this point in time, but he just likes to have projects to work on. And so, so now going from the upper level to the LCC, we go into the lower section, go down a few more stairs. Some of the railings were rusted away, and go down into the lower section of the LCC. This is where all the controls would have been found. This was, at this point, it's really dark and dingy and dirty. Piles of rusty metal that had been cleaned up over the years. But we're showed a box that was hanging on the wall. And this box is where the nuclear launch keys were stored. And that kind of gives you a perspective when you're staring right at where the launch keys. And it was the commander and assistant commander of the silo had keys to this. And they actually both needed the keys to get into this particular box to access the launch keys. So we actually saw the where the launch keys would have been stored at that time. Really fascinating stuff. So that's as far as I wanted to go in the silo. And one of the things that helped me go in a little farther was this historian being there. And I was worried about some of the nasty things that I've heard about these silos, the chemicals that were used. And he explained to me that the silos in my area were never known to have had these really nasty chemicals, such as, I believe it's called tetracycline, which was a cleaning solvent that was used. Unfortunately, it was a great cleaning solution. However, it was known to cause cancer. Well, he gave me an explanation that some of the silos in the Midwest, there had been spills of these particular solutions, and they were kind of still around, and that wasn't really the case in these silos. So we went a little farther, and from the lower room of the Launch Control Center, you go down a short set of stairs, and then you're going, the best way to explain it is a small culvert that goes, it's probably about 20 feet long, and brings you directly into the missile silo. Now, in our case, the missile silo was completely filled with water up to where we were, which was probably about 100 feet up from the bottom of the silo. So it was about 100 feet of water, and we were able to look up through the blast doors that had been opened probably about 2 feet to give some light and some air, fresh air into the silo. And just the size of this silo, it was just amazing to see these steel girders and platforms that had been used, you know, picturing a missile right directly in front of you. Just it, if you ever get a chance to tour a silo, I would suggest doing it. From what I hear, there's a Titan missile silo in I believe Huntsville, Alabama, that's been completely restored. Definitely worth checking out something like this. So we're standing in the silo, and we're seeing how all of this was operational, how around the outside of the silo there was air shafts that were built, and all of the air intake shafts were built with these automatic closing doors that had optical sensors. So in the case of a flash from a nuclear bomb, all of the doors on these air shafts would slam shut for protection. And some of them were like 1 foot wide, but some of them were like 4 feet wide. And they told me stories that the guards that were on duty, sometimes lightning would flash and all of these doors would slam shut. And this was not an optimal working environment. There were always generators running, the machinery running. It was a very loud environment, even when it was brand new. It wasn't the best and most ideal working situation for these guards that had to work with this day in and day out. So looking up at the silo, his plan is to restore the silo from top to bottom, clean it all out. So he's actually filling the silo with water, and he's actually got a boat that he's going to use to start at the very top and clean out the silo with pressure washers, and as he starts from the top, he'll work his way down and drain the silo out and work his way all the way to the bottom. There's eight stories, and each story is about, I would say, 15 to 20 feet apart from the next, and so you have to go down a circular stairway, and it goes all the way down until you get to the first and second levels. Well, I guess it would be the seventh and eighth levels down at the bottom, and those are like 40 feet apart from each other. So it just gives you the size of this silo. We obviously couldn't see the bottom because it was filled with water. So sort of surprised me. The size of the silo itself was huge. The control center was much smaller than I expected. Overall, I was just blown away by how much thought was put into each of these silos. I mean, the blast doors, when you actually get to look at one of these blast doors, they're 2 feet thick, and they've got to be 25 to 50,000 pounds each. Pins were removed so the doors don't move. So he had to actually jack the doors open with 50,000 pound jacks. I think he used four of them, he said. And the outside of the silo up above, we actually got to see how the missiles were actually drove in. They had a special area where they would straighten out the missile itself. And then they actually bolt the trailer that brought the missile onto the property. They bolt it right near the blast doors to the ground. And then they would move the missile to the elevator that brought the missile into the shaft itself. Really cool to see that as well. And if you look at some of the pictures, there's one picture that just kind of has a straightaway pave with a pavement with some hose. And if you really look, there's a little red cone sitting next to a small hole in the ground. And you would barely notice it if you didn't even know what to look for. But the historian said that there was a shaft, sort of like the pyramids, that would go diagonally from the ground all the way into the silo itself. And at that point, that shaft pointed straight to the North Star. And that's what they used for their guidance systems. The light from the North Star would go into this shaft. I believe he said it was filled with nitrogen. And then the light would be emitted into the guidance system of the missile itself, and it gave the exact location on the planet to the missile. So obviously that's important for trying to launch a missile and hit your target directly. I was fascinated by that. The other thing that I was fascinated by was the antennas that were once at this silo site. There was an 85-foot high-frequency antenna that was sort of on the side of the property in a grassy area, used for communications. There was also a antenna bunker where sort of like a small silo itself that was probably about 80 feet deep. And this would be an underground antenna that would rise up out of the ground in the case of a nuclear blast and close by afterwards to reestablish communication. What caught me off guard, though, there was a small UHF antenna that was at ground level. It was only about a foot high. And if you know anything about UHF radio, it's site-to-site communication. So you need to be within visual contact of being able to communicate with that type of antenna. And so what they explained to me was that in the case of all-out war, they would launch missiles with communications being broadcast from the missiles themselves. I'm not sure if he said Minuteman missile or something like that. And as these missiles went overhead, they would broadcast instructions, whether it be for launching these missiles or any other communications that needed to be sent. So it's really fascinating. Everything that was thought of at this point in time, all the way down to just a huge underground septic tank area, fresh water intakes. There's a couple of buildings that were used for fresh water, always pumping fresh water into the silo. And this silo in itself has a long way to go before it was restored. I mean, he's just kind of, it's a one-man kind of job, and he really enjoys working on this stuff. It's going to take years and years and years to be able to restore it to anything usable at this point, I'm sure. But it really was an interesting day walking through this little piece of history, staring down into the silo from up above this open blast door. Like I said, it was open about 2 feet. Really, really awesome, cool stuff. The other thing that I kind of had some humor with, I wanted to take a picture of the road sign saying Missile Base Road as I was leaving, and I just kind of wanted to have it kind of for a keepsake, memory-wise. And as I'm leaving, I'm realizing that they spelled the word missile wrong on the road sign, M-I-S-S-L-E. It's not how you spell missile. So it's really kind of funny. But anyway, really had an awesome day, awesome experience, finally getting to see one of these silos. And I learned a little bit about astronomy, learned a little bit about radio stuff that I've been talking about recently, comparing high frequency to UHF and all that stuff. I'd be interested in seeing another silo in the future. Probably would want to go through one that had been restored. I talked a lot about the Lewis silo. That would be Site 5. That's what I've been told, is that is the most preserved missile silo in the country. And everything as far as on the inside was still just about completely restored, except for the silo itself. So I would love to take a trip. You know, I've always, you know, bucket list, wanted to go to the Kennedy Space Center and go to Alabama and see the Saturn V rocket on display there. And I would love to take a tour through the Titan missile silo. So, I've always said that somebody should take and purchase one of these silos, somebody who has money, and restore it and then open it up as a tourist attraction. There's my idea for the day. If anybody wants to do that, that would be great. I can't afford it, but maybe someday somebody will do that. So that's going to wrap up my story on the Atlas missile silos. I finally was able to go see one. Really enjoyed the day. If you have any questions about the silo or the pictures that I posted, feel free to send me an email, mrptechreviews@gmail.com. I would love to hear some feedback on this. I know it must be difficult to sort of describe something in a place that I've never been to, and probably a place that you've never seen. I was trying to do my best for you. There's a lot happening on this 5 acres of land here. Small buildings and small shacks. Talked about radar stations. One of the stories I heard is that there would be, a couple of stories to share with you, actually. So the first story, many kids would actually sneak in when this silo was operational, and they would take pictures of the missile as they were up for testing during the daytime. They would bring the missile all the way up and go through the launch routine all the way up to just launch and stop at that point. So they actually installed radar scanning equipment that would scan the property just to keep the guards awake. These radar alarms would go off all the time when deer would walk through the property, and sort of kept the guards on their toes a little bit. The other story that I wanted to share with you that I forgot to earlier regarding the escape hatch that was filled with 4 tons of sand. Well, he said that his mailman, oddly enough, his mailman, when he was younger, just after the silos closed, would come down with a friend of his, and they found the escape hatch, and they opened it up. And what they did is they brought a couple of buckets, and they started taking the sand out. They really wanted to get into the silo. So they started taking the sand out, and they would actually dump it in the other bunker where the 80-foot bunker with the where the antenna would be stored underground. And they'd move it away from the silo into that bunker so that nobody would find the sand at the end of the day. So they wanted to be able to get into the silo without being found out. And they actually moved all of the sand into the other bunker. So now there's 4 tons of sand in the antenna array, which is really ridiculous. Kind of a funny story about a bunch of kids wanting to get into a missile silo. Lastly, another story to share. We're in the deep, dark dungeon of this bunker, the lower section of the LCC. Again, this is a floating platform, and underneath there's probably about a 2-foot gap. Then there's just solid cement and dirt and muck and everything like that underneath. I looked down, and I just kind of said out loud, "Hey, there's a frog." And I was kind of surprised to find something living down in this silo. And nobody else could see it, and I was looking, and they're like, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah, he's right there." And then I kind of joked. I said, "He's got 6 legs and 4 eyes," and then everybody burst out laughing because, you know, we're all deep underground, and once was probably, I wouldn't guess it would be radioactive, but anyway, you get the point. So we all got a good laugh out of that. Really, overall, great experience, and I'm going to put some links in the show notes to the silo again. I get you some videos and some pictures. And I really urge you to take a look at them because it's kind of interesting stuff. Next week, I hope to record another episode. I'm trying out OBS 20 right now, and I am blown away at some of the upgrades from this release. It went from something, in my opinion, that worked well, that did not look very good, and had some really nice features. OBS 20, I'm just scratching the surface on some of these upgrades, and I think there's a lot to this that I'm really going to like. I'm going to play with it a little bit this week, and I'm going to give you some feedback next week on what I think of OBS 20. Got a lot of great ideas going into the fall, guys. I am, like I said earlier, crazy summer is coming to the end, thank goodness, and I am ready to get back up and recording again on a weekly basis. So thanks for being patient with me, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.